just in the last 2 weeks, they announced that they are adding an additional $200 million just to fix that intersection where Dean died. They're finally going to fix that intersection.
You're listening to No Time for Delays.
With us on the line is council member Fred Strong, and he's from Paso Robles, California, which is in San Luis Obispo, California. Council member, first, tell me about your background briefly before we move on to talking about the transportation challenges affecting Paso Robles.
Yes, well, I've been involved politically for well over 60 years. I was aide to Senators Estes Kefauver of Tennessee, Hubert Humphrey of Minnesota, and John F. Kennedy of Massachusetts. And since then, and I wrote legislation for them and contributed to legislation for them, and also have done the same thing for other members of Congress and in various states, the governors, the state senators, legislators, and local governments. So I've been very involved in all of that. And currently, I represent our local governments and our region of governments in Washington, D.C. and in Sacramento, California, our state capital. And in all of those positions, I'm very much involved in transportation as transportation policy chair for all the regional governments of the United States, for one, and also on the Transportation Policy Committee for the National League of Cities for all the cities of the United States.
So I was intrigued about this story because I heard that the late James Dean ties into this and figures into this overall transportation issue that's affecting Paso Robles. What's the background on that, and how does it relate to what's going on decades later after Dean's passing?
Well, actually, Dean got it started to some extent, but by just bringing attention to the fact that this is an unusual highway. It is the only major highway connecting the Highway 101, which is right near our west coast, to the I-5, which is sent in the central state. And the 10, way down by Los Angeles, ties into it. And then also up by San Francisco, the 80 ties all the way between those two. And 46 is right halfway in between those two. So as a result, it carries a tremendous amount of goods. $7 billion of annual goods shipments a year go down that highway. And also $5 billion worth of tourism, because we're a major tourist area. And these businesses support over 575,000 jobs in the region. So the highway becomes very, very important. And James Dean brought attention to it with his death back in 1955. The problem is, we've been trying to do something about this, and for the last 25 years now, the state and federal government have been funding segments of it along the way. They've now gotten up to supporting $700 million worth of improvements. And just in the last 2 weeks, they announced that they are adding an additional $200 million just to fix that intersection where Dean died. They're finally going to fix that intersection.
Wow. The fact that he died there, and the fact that this happened so long ago, it's symbolic of a lot of the things with our infrastructure where there may not be the funding to do what you need to do to upgrade these infrastructure components.
Well, there's another aspect to it that it really highlighted, and that is what we call at-grade crossings. That's where, in his case, it was two highways were intersecting. But it was almost a blind intersection as you're coming down Highway 41 into Highway 46. And that's where he passed away. But We have multiple at-grade crossings along that route. It's not really a full freeway. And that's where the deaths are occurring. And we've had hundreds of deaths on that highway and at-grade crossings and head-ons both in that period.
Wow. So, wow. In an earlier conversation that we had before this interview, you mentioned having some firsthand experience with these safety issues on Highway 46 when you were a print journalist. Can you tell me about what happened?
Yeah, in that case, I came on the scene of this accident just after the police had arrived, and it was just east of one of those at-grade crossings where a car had been sideswiped by a truck, and it impaled itself on a guardrail for a bridge. And this woman, actually, who was somebody I knew, it was a waitress named Crystal from one of our restaurants, and as they were trying to extract her from the car because she was trapped in the car, they asked me to deputize me and asked me to take care of traffic control. So I'm standing there only a few hundred feet away from where she's impaled and stopping the traffic, when all of a sudden her car burst into flames from, I guess, the motor's still running and some gasoline leakage. And that drove the police away from the car, and the fire department hadn't arrived yet with anything to put out the fire. And I just had to stand there and control traffic and listen to her screaming and begging for help as she burned to death.
Oh, that's
And
terrible.
it was an experience that you never forget in your life. And it's
Oh.
one of the reasons why I support the zero program for deaths on the highway, because deaths on the highway are the biggest cause of death in the United States of America. We've got to stop the deaths in every way we possibly can.
Well, that's terrible. The recently passed $1 trillion Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, IIJA, which was passed by Congress, signed by President Biden at the end of 2021, it's apparently opening up a huge opportunity to get money from the federal government for road improvements in your community. Can you tell me, how much will your city get from that legislation?
Well,
And
that all depends. That
yeah,
depends on a lot of different things because there are many segments to that program. There's the tip money. There's all kinds of money available, but some of it's in grants and some of it's automatic grants. And also that depends on certain census aspects, because depending upon how the census rates you as rural or semi-urban or urban, that affects the amount of money you get. And also the state comes into it because the federal government currently sends that money through the state, and the state then designates who's going to get how much and also has some control over how some of the grants are given. And when the grant money comes in, frequently the state takes up to as much as 40% of that money as an administrative fee, which defeats the whole purpose of the grant. And that's part of the problem we're having.
Huh. Have you been able to indicate that to the administration, and what do they say?
Oh yes, we're working on that. National League of Cities is working on that. The National Association of Regional Councils is also working on that. And those are both of those organizations. I'm involved in the transportation policy and in trying to get this accomplished, where the money should go directly to whoever's going to actually do the project. If that's the state, then send it to the state. But if it's going to be a local government, whether it be region, county, or city, the money should go there, or at least go through the region and distributed locally to their cities and counties. But here's another thing too, is the federal government could limit the amount of an administrative fee that they can charge. And probably my recommendation would have been limited to no more than 1%, because we're talking millions of dollars of grants. I mean, how much time, staff time does it take to accept money and then turn around and write a new check down to somebody else and mail it? Doesn't make sense.
I hope you get that resolved. What is the timeline for getting this Highway 46 project done? I mean, where do we stand with that?
Well, we're hoping we have to have it completed and in operation within 3 years. That's going to be a tight timeline, but we're shovel ready now. We're ready to go as far as having the right of ways, have what we have to do, as long as we can get the money to build the overpass at this at-grade crossing. And that will actually close two at-grade crossings, because it will take care of the same areas as the two combined previously took care of. And we're looking at a process that a cost of probably approximately $54.2 million, or 52.5 million, pardon me.
To get these projects off the ground, what has your experience been about how politics, both locally and nationwide, play into the process? In other words, is this a Democrat versus Republican kind of thing that you need to navigate through in
No, I
order to
don't
be
think so.
successful?
Not necessarily. I think it's a bureaucratic complexity and control problem, getting worse for decades under both Democratic and Republican administrations. It's complicated by what I mentioned about the revenue stream from federal through state to the region or city. And that's why we're trying to get that process streamlined. Federal government does not want to write hundreds of checks. They want to write maybe 50 or 100 checks, period. And unfortunately, I think you've got so many computer programs now and so much technology that should be an easy fix if you just got a good programmer and take care of it and get the money down to where it belongs.
Are you generally happy with the legislation, the IIJA legislation that was passed? I mean, are you, happy that this has happened?
Yes. In fact, I did participate just somewhat in making suggestions that were accepted and put into that legislation.
You know, in your lifetime, how historic is this legislation?
Oh, this is wonderful. Since the Eisenhower administration, when the interstate process was started, we have never spent enough since then until this last legislation to take care of even 10% of the needs. And so we've been disintegrating gradually for over 40 years. Now, this is a big chunk of money. It still isn't 100%, but that's because we've fallen so far behind. But if we can hold that pace going forward, we can probably get back on track within a decade or two.
So in your lifetime, you actually look at this legislation as really like milestone.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I don't even expect to live long enough to see the end of it. But for the future of our country and for the future generations that are coming after us, this is important that they have a better life to live.
Yeah, and let's get into that. How do you think that investing in infrastructure, how does it affect communities and the economy and the way we live? I mean, what do you think the impact of it is going to be?
Oh, tremendous. I mean, we've got right now where we're going, this particular bridge, see, we've got the highway dividing the city, north and south. And we've got another highway, 101, divides us east and west. Plus, we have a river and we have railroad tracks that divide us. But this particular one is key because there's so much traffic going to be going across that road because we have this Paso Robles Space Innovation and Technology Park going in on the other side of that road. But all the people that are going to be working there and servicing it live on the other side of the road. So you've got to get across that road, and that's hundreds. Right now, we probably have 100 to 200 cars a day and trucks that are servicing those areas going across. And we're having traffic accidents constantly. They're not all death, but some of them are. And we have at least, I think, one death a month. Right now, I think it's more like one or two a week almost, because we have what we're calling landing is going up there, and something called Paso Commons. And we have a spaceport that we have application in for. If we say we already have an airport there that is 727 capable, it's the best all-weather airport in the continental United States, and it brings in constant planes all the time. And those people are coming into town, and they have to cross that road. So there's no way they can get from the airport to into town now without dealing with an at-grade crossing with no traffic controls, and that's a problem. And it's going to get much worse in the next 3 years.
Well, I mean, do you have a pretty positive outlook, though? I mean, in terms of where we're going with infrastructure in this country? I mean, do you
oh,
think
absolutely.
That we're...
We're correcting a lot of the things in the past that had failed. But the new bridge that they're getting between Kentucky and Ohio, that's a tremendous undertaking. And that's a wonderful project. And that one was very expensive also, extremely expensive.
Well, I really appreciate your time, and this has really been informative for me.
Well, thank you. And I hope that it's informative for everyone who listens to this as well. And perhaps we get some action.
Thanks for your time.
And thank you, Murray, very much.
To learn more, visit notimefordelays.com.